Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
Welcome. What a great sense of the presence of God. You know, as we were worshiping, I felt like the Holy Spirit just whispered something into my ear that some people here today, you just need to hear. You need to hear that this is going to be a good year for you. You know, everything may be shaping up in different directions, but I feel like the Holy Spirit says some people here need to get a new spring in their step. They need to, you need to hear. You understand what I'm saying? You need to hear it's going to be a good year. Despite what goes on, despite how it all happens, it's going to be a good year. And I don't know whether or not that word is just particularly to you, but there's some people here that you're feeling so under the weight of what's just so under the weight of whatever's happening around you that you cannot see that God is at work, and He'll work it together for good in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, amen. Oh, man, you're singing great this morning. And online, I'm assuming you're singing quite well. Seaboard, Norfolk, Greenville are all connecting to us at this point. What a great time for the family to get together and for us to join as the church together, whether it's online or in one of our locations. You're welcome. You're so glad you're here in Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you that we're going to come around your word. Your word is truth. Your word turns the lights on. Your word helps us to see. Your word helps us to understand. Your word gives us clarity about life, about the world, about how we are to live. And so in the name of Jesus, speak to your people. May the word that I speak today, Lord, just bust through our human hearts and break into a spiritual reality and give us insight, wisdom, and breakthrough on our lives in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said together, amen. We've been speaking on the dance, keeping the dance, how to keep your dance. Pastor Steve, you know, when Pastor Steve came back, Pastor Sharon came back after being away, and they've been seeking the Lord about this year and about just different things. And Pastor Steve said to me, he said, oh, Mark, I just feel like, you know, I feel like there's this, the Holy Spirit speaking to me about the need to keep your dance, the need to get the music in your soul. And the moment he said it, I just went, man, I really feel like, man, that just made my heart leap. And I'm just so thankful that we have pastors that are keen to seek the Lord, to get the word of the Lord, and to steer us in the direction of what God is having for us as a people. And I'm just so excited about what this year can bring. Can't wait to Vision Sunday. It's going to be fantastic, just in a couple of weeks away in February 14th. So I'm just so excited about what God is going to do this year in and through our lives together as Wave Church, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Well, you've been wondering where Sandy and I have been, or some of you might be looking at us going, well, who are you anyway? You have an Australian accent. Well, we haven't been here at this campus for quite a while. We've been out in Greenville before that, and then the more recent times we've been out in our Seaboard Road campus and just having a great time with our people out there in Seaboard Road. And in fact, I thought I'd better put a photo up on the screen to remind us of who we are. My name is Mark, as you would say. There we are, Mark and Sandy. And Sandy has our latest addition in her arms, and it's a dog. It looks like a rat, but it's actually a little dog. And what is it again? A golden... Sandy, stop. You're supposed to be listening to me. Half mini doodle, half dachshund, whatever that is. That's it. And the young lad in the middle there was looking so happy. That apparently is what a 13-year-old, that's how a 13-year-old looks happy. So for those that are the uninformed and not up to date, that is seriously, seriously filled with joy and ready to take on the world. That is our youngest, Caleb, and of course, Justin and his. Well, let's turn to the other photo. There they are. That, with the hands up like that, means there's a ring on the finger. So we put a ring on the finger. So we got a wedding coming up and they're engaged. And so very exciting days we have ahead for us. Let's get into the word. Steve has been preaching, Pastor Steve's been preaching on this whole concept of keeping your dance, about what it means to have your dance. And in the past 2 weeks, Pastor Steve has been teaching on the Bible has got a lot to say about dance and about victory. We've been looking at why people don't dance. We've been looking at it, dance as an expression of worship. Last week we talked about having a dance in a desert. And last week we concluded with some spiritual indicators that would indicate that you are losing your dance. And I want to continue on in that thought as we go, as we move ahead. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 15 and go to verse 20. And we'll unpack this little passage together. It's going to be very small, but we're going to unpack it, and then we're going to look at a few little things from it and then move on. So then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine. In the last service, I got all mixed up and I said, what did I say? Trampoline. And ever since then, my phone has lit up with photos of trampolines and tambourines just to help me. Thank you for everybody that keeps sending those photos to me. And just to make sure that I knew that Miriam did not drag a trampoline out of Egypt. She took a tambourine out of Egypt. And it'll become important as we move on. It said, and she led all the women as they played their tambourines and danced. And Miriam sang this song, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, for he has hurled both horse and rider to the sea. And of course, the moment we started doing that, people were saying to me, you know, they pictured, you know, Miriam on a trampoline dancing. And it's just all wrong. Ruined my message. But the truth of the matter is that this actual dance and the thing that happened straight after the children of Israel had left, under Moses, had left Egypt. They'd left bondage and slavery. They'd been oppressed for hundreds of years. And so they came out of that situation and circumstance, and they came to the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea. They went through the Red Sea. And then as the Egyptian army came after them, Pharaoh's army, it all closed in and they all drowned, all the Egyptian army drowned, and so all of a sudden the children of Israel were free, the children of Israel were no longer slaves, and the children of Israel no longer had to keep looking behind them to see whether or not someone was going to catch up with them. They were suddenly in a totally different situation. And then the Bible goes on to talk about the fact that Moses made up a song there and then on the spot. And you'll see that if you read it after that in Exodus 15, Moses did this incredible song. And it says the whole of Israel began to join in. And so all of a sudden they began to sing, they began to dance, they began to all engage. And then in the middle of that, it says Miriam grabbed a tambourine. Got to get it right. She grabbed a tambourine. And she led all the women. So all the men had been dancing and singing and getting involved. And Miriam looked around and said, come on, we've all got to get involved in this. So come on. And she grabbed the tambourine and everyone else grabbed their tambourines. And they began to dance across the place and began to make merry. Why? Because they had an incredible victory in their lives at this point about what was going on. So I want to answer a question out of this. The first part of this message, the first part of it is why dance and song? Why do we focus on dance and song? Because it's just uncomfortable. I don't like singing. If you don't have a great singing voice and everyone around you is singing, or if you can't dance, I really can't dance. I got great encouragement when Pastor Steve said that he was in the pogo dancing group. If you don't remember that, that was in the first series and first message. You can get a hold of that and watch that. I got great joy, and I suddenly understood his prowess in spiritual dancing when I saw him do that dance on the stage. How many were here for that? Some of you here for that? How many were into that sort of dancing? Father, release them. Look, nobody. Pastor Steve's not here. We can't point it out to him. Sorry. Stop it. So why dance and song? It's a lot. You know, you think about it. Most people are like, well, it's just too, why would we bother? Why can't I just be me? Well, here's some thoughts I have on why dance and song. First thought I have, it releases your emotion and expresses what's in you. How would you dance if you were suddenly now free from some major oppression, what would you do? Someone, Pastor Robert told me today that it was at Michigan, someone won $1 billion. I doubt if the guy who won $1 billion in Michigan was going, oh, $1 billion, eh? Well, that's good. Yeah, $1 billion, nice. Thank you. How would he be when he woke up? Imagine if you woke up with $1 billion in your hand. You'd be like, ah! You would be screaming around the place. You'd be like a mad person. Well, imagine if you got totally set free. Imagine if no longer you had the bondage of something all over your life. Imagine if you were no longer enslaved anymore. Imagine what you would be like. Well, friends, you don't have to imagine. It's actually the reality and the fact of who we are. We were enslaved to sin. We were trapped in our own sins and ending up towards hell. When Jesus, in the moment of time, broke into our reality, he died on a cross, he rose again so that you and I would no longer have to have that over our lives. Why should we dance? It's because it releases the emotions. It releases and expresses what is inside of you. I doubt if the women in that dance were just like, we're just going to do that little, I don't know whether it was Archie and Sabrina, whatever it was, you know, Archie. Yeah. I doubt if it was a little bit like that. I think they were waving it around like crazy people. I think when you decide, when you get set free, you actually need to recognize, you need to put some action into your life as a result of it. It enables what's in you to begin to come out of you. It's an amazing thing when you decide to get set free. Here, watch this on the screen here. I've got a little clip from the Irish world. Well, in 1990, this became a phenomena. It actually became a real phenomena in 1940. Thank you. I won't ask Robert to come and do that because Robert's actually Scottish, not Irish, for those that don't know. And so there's quite a difference between the Scottish and Irish. It's like asking an Australian to do something New Zealander, but you're lost on that, so we'll keep moving on. In 2011, someone did some study on the river dance. On the Irish dancing. In fact, there's been a lot of studies on Irish dancing, and the reason they looked at it was because they realized you could link trauma counseling and trauma recovery through this dancing. They found that this dancing enabled the community to deal with the oppression and the power of what had been going on in their lives and enabled this community to actually have a release and have an ability to get set free from some of the impacts of the Viking era, of the British era, and so on, of what had been going on in Ireland over the many hundreds of years of oppression that they had. And that dance became something that enabled them as a community to be able to do something about what was going on around them and let out what was happening within inside them. Because if you don't let out what's happening in you, it will explode someday, somewhere, and some way. All you have to do is recognize that. Now, you may not want to take up the river dance and start going up, and although there's a lot of money in it, people seem to love it. But nevertheless, these people had a breakthrough because they actually just decided to do dancing. It's the strangest dancing ever. They don't move their arms, it's just their feet. And there's lots of reasons behind that, which we don't have time to talk into it. You can go and have a look at that yourself. These are just natural, normal reasons why song and dance is so important that God has put into place. It releases your emotions and expresses what's in you. The second thought I have on that is that music and dance create community identity. It gives you a place of belonging. When those river dancers started to dance, you knew who they were. You knew where they came from. You knew their identity. It gave the community a sense of belonging and a sense of purpose. When Myanmar, I don't even know how to say it, Burma, formerly Burma, began, had a whole lot of invasion and different things that were going on, a bunch of refugees from Myanmar actually ended up in Ohio in America. America opened up its doors, as it often does, and embraced these refugees to come on in and gave them a place and a home. But one of the things that was lacking was a sense of identity. And a study done in 2018 discovered that when they brought in the dance of their particular group of people, they began to bring in their folk or their culture dance within to that community of people. It brought healing and release for those people within that community. Why? Because they were just doing the dance. dance. They were expressing something, and they discovered community, connection, and purpose as a result of that. Music creates community identity in the same way that it did with the people there in Ireland when they began to do that river dance type thing. When we as a church recognize that we together, you know what unites us? The thing that unites us is the way, just worship. And there are many different styles of worship, but music together, when we worship together, people from all faiths, all backgrounds, all faiths is the wrong word, but all cultures and backgrounds, people from that background, suddenly when you worship God, when you suddenly begin to give expression to that relationship with Jesus, that salvation that's come through him, all of a sudden we become the identity and we discover the church. And when you look through the book of Acts and you see the first church that was formed, it was from people from all backgrounds, all walks of life. What they had together was that relationship with Jesus, that encounter with him that caused them to rise up and to worship that God together, the God of the Bible, the God we understand. And suddenly they had an identity and purpose as a community. The third thing, just naturally, we see about dance is that music and dance changes how we see. Now, the Israelites had been doing an amazing dance before Miriam grabbed her tambourine. And what happened was that Miriam suddenly prophetically saw the future. The Bible says, Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister. Miriam the prophet. A prophet is one who sees, one who understands what's coming through, one that's going on. Miriam the prophet saw something. She saw deliverance. She saw the future. She saw the hope. She saw that Israel had a future. She saw that the people that she belonged to, her family, her friends, the children didn't have to worry anymore. There was a future ahead for them. And suddenly she began to dance, and then she began to lead the people, the women, in dancing and song as a result of seeing something different and new, and began to change the way people were behaving and responding. So why dance and sing? Because it releases your emotions and expresses what's in you. Why dance and sing? Because it can create community identity and give a place of belonging. Why dance and sing? Because music changes how you see. Are you getting this? You're following along? I won't start dancing, but I will start moving. Because you don't have to be able to real dance. You just have to move. You know, I wonder what would happen if we decided, you know, when we turn up to church, regardless of how we feel, to just start moving. Well, the song's too loud. I don't know the words. I'm not asking you to know anything except just move a bit. And concentrate on the victory that we have in Jesus. Imagine what would happen. Because here's my next thought. Given all of that, you have to choose to get the dance. You have to choose to be a part of it. You have to choose to step on in. You have to choose. You know, sometimes you turn up and just the music can sweep you in. But, you know, more often than not, if you're miserable and bitter and twisted, doesn't matter what music's playing, you're just going to be musically bitter and twisted. Isn't that true? If you're angry, if you're upset, doesn't matter what's going on, you're just going to be angry and upset, and the music's going to just annoy you worse. See, the reality is you have to choose to enter in. You have to choose to actually. That is the thing about Jesus, about Christianity. It's Christianity is not a forced thing. It's a choice. We have to choose. Once you choose, the power of God is released. Once you choose, the change begins to happen. Do you know what? I'm always amazed. You know, I don't know whether you've ever read about the paralyzed man in the Gospels. There's a paralyzed man that was lowered through the roof. It was in our study, in our 21 days of prayer and fasting. We focused a little bit on it. And this paralyzed man is put in front of Jesus, and Jesus says this interesting thing to this paralyzed man. He says, get up. Well, that's pretty interesting if you're paralyzed. And so this man suddenly, I think he began to do something, and as he got up, something happened. He was able to walk. And then Jesus said, pick up your mat. Isn't that interesting? Like, you would have thought, okay, let's just have a little dance party or something or other, or sing or whatever. But Jesus said, no. You got to get up now. Now we've got to deal with the consequences of your former life. He said, let's deal with it. Let's make a choice to start the process. And then he said this. He said, go home. I think that's really rude. Wouldn't you think so? He said, go home. Get up, pick up your mat, now go home. What was he really saying? He's saying, now you've got the ability to get into community. You've got the ability to get back with your family. You've got the ability now to get out from where you are and to get to where you have always been meant to be. And so often as Christians, we don't want to pick up our mat. We're like our 13-year-olds. Pick it up. No. Pick it up. I'll do it later. Do you know what later means? Never. We're not far behind them. We're much the same. We've got to choose to get up, pick up our stuff, start dealing with our stuff, and then choose to actually engage and move into community. Here's some thoughts I have on that. And it's come from Luke chapter 15. And let's go to verse 25 to 30, one of the well-known passages of Scripture. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of his servants, what's going on? Your brother is back, he was told. Your father has killed the fattened calf and we celebrate because of his safe return. I want to just stop there for a second for a couple of little things I want to highlight before we unpack this a bit more. First of all, you need to understand, I always find it interesting. What is that? Here is a young man who does not know what music and dancing is. He's like, he's a young guy that, now, who does he represent? All the religious people. He represents us in some way, shape, or form. Hey, and we don't understand. And we hear this music. What's going on? How come there's dancing? What's happening? What is this dance? What is this music? Instead of his attitude should have been, oh, wow, there's a party going on. Where can I join? What's going to happen? Where? This is going to be a great day. I've just come home and there's something happening and there's going to be food and dancing and music. But his response wasn't like that. His response is, what's going on? This shouldn't be happening. So much of our response to what God is doing is often just like that older brother. Well, let's keep reading on. Sometimes I don't like reading the Bible. Do you know why? Because it convicts me. It's ouch. It shows me stuff I don't want to see about myself. Isn't that true? And that's why we need to read the Bible. That's why James says it's like a mirror. You look at it and you go, oh, I need to straighten that. You don't notice stuff until you look in the mirror. Isn't that true? Well, it says this, verse 25, the older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. So he spat the dummy. That's not a saying here, is it? Whatever. He was mad. He was angry. For the Australians here, you knew exactly what I was talking about. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for the feast with my friends. And yet when this son of yours, speaking to God the Father, when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by giving the fattened calf. Wow, what a killjoy. Even God couldn't get this guy to party. Isn't it interesting that you and I are in this situation where we have to choose to actually engage and get in and get involved with what God is doing? And here Jesus is telling the story of two brothers. One, a brother that goes out and squanders all his inheritance and lives a life that's just not a life that would be of any use or value to anyone or anything other than himself. But he comes to his senses and comes home. And the religious guy still at home is the one that's complaining to God the Father about this young man. How come he can do what he likes? How come he can get a party going on? How come he starts to sing and to dance? Why? How come? Because he doesn't have a revelation. He does not have a revelation that he, like his younger brother, he is actually in the same situation of having a bitterness and sin in his heart. Here's some thoughts that I think, if we're going to join the party and not be like this older brother, here's some things we got to do. First thing we got to do is let's get ready to sing and dance. I'm always amazed. All the children of Israel are leaving Egypt. And they think, there's a bunch of people that think, oh, I can't leave here without a tambourine. You're about to leave, and you're about to be marching through the desert. You're about to carry all this stuff with you. You got to take as little as possible. It would not be on my top 10 list to take. Would that be true? Would that be true for you? If you're going to leave in a oppressive situation, you got to get out of the house and you can only carry a handful of things. A tambourine would not be high on my agenda, nor would a trampoline. So here, Miriam understood something, and not just Miriam, but a whole host of people. They understood the power and the presence of music and dance and what it could do to a community. And if you and I want to be engaged with what God is doing, we have got to get ready to have that same dance in our hearts and in our spirits. We've got to choose to be ready to enter in. We've got to choose to be able to step in to what's gone about. When the music starts, are we just critics, or are we prepared to enter in? Are we prepared to be a part of it? Now, I'm not suggesting everyone bring a tambourine next weekend. Nor a trampoline. I'm just suggesting that we need to be ready in our hearts to actually enter in. And not just for next weekend, but for this week and for Monday, for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that we choose to be ready to enter in. So how do I choose? How do I keep ready? Listen, it's in that passage we just read about the older brother. We have to listen to the response we give when we look at what's going on around us. That old brother, that religious brother, was just angry and bitter and upset. He was full of bitterness buried within him. My brother is home, this brother is home, I'm angry. If you're an angry person, deal with your anger. Anger shows us often of something happening within us that's just not right. You can be righteously angry, don't get me wrong, but if that is your constant normal state, that is a miserable way to live. And this religious guy, Jesus is pointing out, this religious guy, that way of living does not enter into the dance. That way of living does not respond well to what's going on around. That way of living is actually going to cause you to miss out on what God actually has. If your brother comes home, do you rejoice at what God is doing? Are you self-righteous about yourself? That brother or that son of yours, when you look at what God is doing in other people's lives, do you get bitter, angry, and upset? Do you always measure yourself against somebody else and about what they have and what you don't have? Sometimes we allow these wrong attitudes of self-consciousness, pride, distrust, intolerance. I remember I was talking to someone just this week. They said something and it caused me to react and respond, and I was really, and I went, yeah, and I responded back, and then afterwards I felt like the Holy Spirit put his little hand on me and say, have you thought about what you just said? And I said, no. And I felt like the Holy Spirit say, you've got exactly the same issue. It's just in a different way. So what are you going to do about it? Oh, when the Holy Spirit does that, it's so annoying. But you know what? We got a choice. Are we going to listen in? Are we going to lean in? Or are we going to turn around? When we lean in, we find life, joy, peace, happiness. Listen to the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. I don't think it'll come up because I didn't tell them. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you will listen to the Holy Spirit, if you will listen and allow the Holy Spirit to just begin to invade your reality and begin to expose some of the attitudes and actions that we truly have, then we become these people that bring joy and release and peace to the community. We become the people that bring love, that bring joy, that bring peace, that bring patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness and self-control. When the world looks at us, what do they see? Do they see an older brother pointing its finger? Well, when this son of yours comes home, when God the Father is saying, let's get in and rejoice, we're like, ugh. I don't want to. You got to take your don't want to and say, God, forgive me. I need to. What separates me from anybody else? Only the grace of God. The Bible says we're all sinners. We've all made mistakes. Check out Romans chapter 3. The Bible says that every person has fallen short of what God expects. There's no special category of saint in the room here. There's no one that's like, oh yes, you were born with some special gold star over your head. We were all born broken, and Jesus came to heal us and to make us whole and to give us a fresh start and to give us a new beginning. When you begin to understand that, when you begin to realize that, you begin to dance. You stop letting the things worry you that worry you. You stop getting the stuff around you that holds on to you. You let it go. The Holy Spirit begins to bring joy and release into your life. There's a lot more I can say. There's a lot more things I need to say about wisdom, about how we live and how we should live. And we'll be doing that as we continue on through this year. It's not about just being silent, but it's about not letting that thing on the inside rob you of the joy of the peace. And when you allow stuff that's going on around you to affect what's going on inside of you, and when you allow what's inside of you to come out, the ugliness of all of that, that's what Jesus died on a cross to save us from. Too often I think I'm a nice person. Don't we all? And we are. But compared to God, we don't even scratch the surface. All of us, the Bible says, have fallen short. The good news is that Jesus broke into this world. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, came into this world to die on a cross, to rise again from the dead, to step in and take our place so that we don't have to have that thing in our life called sin that locks us up and makes us bitter and holds us into who we were. But we can be people who are free, people who can step into life. It takes the first choice of asking Jesus to come on in and forgive us of our sins. But then it takes another choice to keep on choosing to keep the dance alive. To keep on choosing to be who you were made to be. To keep on choosing to let go of the hurt and the bitterness. To keep on choosing to no longer be so self-conscious about who you are and what you are, and to lose yourself into who He is and what He has done. That's the good news. You don't have to live life alone. You don't have to live life without His power. Christianity is not just about a bunch of rules. It's not a bunch of rules. It's not a bunch of what to do and what not to do. It's about a living, dynamic relationship with Jesus that as we begin to express and we live, we find the Holy Spirit speaking to us within the form of community, within the Word of God, that He begins to speak and put His hand in areas of our life and says, hey, this area needs to change. This attitude needs to go. This part of you. And I'll empower you for kingdom life. That's the good news. That's the good news. Christianity is so simple. We make it complex. So this morning I want to ask you a question. What are you going to do? Are you going to choose to get your dance back? Are you going to choose to allow the stuff in this world to choke the seed of the Word of God in your life? Or are you going to choose to let it go and allow God to have His way? Some in this room, you need to make a decision for the first time to allow Jesus to come into your life. Whether it's online or in any of our locations in Seaboard, Norfolk, or in our Greenville location, you got to make a choice. And it's really simple to make that choice. You just realize that you can't do it on your own, and you need Him to come and forgive you of everything that blocks your relationship with Him and to set you free on the inside. That's one group of people, and we're going to pray for you in just a minute. But there's another group of people in here that have been Christians for a long time. My question to you is, are you going to step into your future? Am I going to? I'm talking to me just as much. Are we going to hold on to the sin that locks us down, the bitterness and the anger or whatever it is that is holding us back? Or are we going to allow the Holy Spirit to give us that dynamic relationship that where he puts his hand in our life and says, come on, pick up your mat, get into community, come on home. Don't hold on to that anymore. Don't be bound by that anymore. Get set free in Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Father, we're going to pray for people to ask you to forgive them of their sin, to become a Christian for the first time. But Lord, first of all, I want to pray for people here today that are Christians, that Lord, that your Holy Spirit is speaking into their hearts and lives about areas where they've lost their dance, where they've lost their ability to just step on into your presence, where bitterness or whatever has happened around them that have caused them to shut down and to let go of your reality. So I pray right now, Holy Spirit, turn the light on. I pray that the cares of this world would no longer choke the seed of your word in their life. I speak into their situation and circumstance that the lies of the enemies would be halted and stopped. I speak the blessing of God that makes rich and adds no sorrow over your people in the name of Jesus. I ask that we see through your word in a whole new day, that we see that God works everything together for good because we love him and are called according to his purposes. That, Lord, that we would see that no weapon that would form against us would in any way prosper. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, turn things around and work them for good in your people's lives right here, right now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let hope arise. Let peace flow into people's lives, people that are concerned about loved ones and sicknesses and other. Let peace flow. Let joy flow. Let your power flow into their situation and circumstance in Jesus' name. For our campuses, you can continue on, but for the campus online and here, you need to make a commitment to Jesus. Maybe you've never done it, maybe you have done it, but you slipped away. Then today I want to invite you to get back into relationship with him. It's the best thing you could ever do. If you want to get a spring in your step and a new dance in your heart, get it into relationship with him. What differs us from every other religion in the world is a personal relationship with God Almighty. You can have that today. You can choose that today. The Bible talks about him standing at the door knocking. So for you, right here, right where you're at, if that's you this morning, I wonder why all our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, just no one looking around the room except me. I just want to know who I'm praying for and who I'm going to lead in a prayer. If that's you and you want to make your peace with God, give me a little wave right where you're at so that I can see you. Just lift that little hand up. Give me a little wave. Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. There are others here this morning. Over here, yeah. Gotcha, sir. Gotcha. Gotcha. Your heart's pounding. This is a moment. The Holy Spirit is right here, right involved with you. Your heart's pounding because of the reality of this moment. Your head might be going, this is crazy, but your heart's going, this is real. If that's you, just before we move on, give me a little wave so I know who I'm praying for. Yeah, yeah, God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God's going to turn things around. I don't know how, but for some people, God's going to turn things around. I want us all to pray this little prayer, and then I'm going to pray for those people. But I want us all to pray this prayer, and we're all praying it with you, those that raise their hand, or even if you didn't have the courage to raise your hand. We're going to pray. There's 6 people online that have already made that decision. You can even press the button online and let us know. But let's pray. Let's all pray this prayer. Dear Jesus. Online, you people pray as well. So, dear Jesus, I ask you right now to forgive me of my sin, to come into my life and make me brand new. And I thank you, Jesus, that from this moment on, I'm going to live for you all the days of my life. And I thank you, Jesus, that you hear my prayer and that you have answered it. In your name I pray. And everybody said together, amen. Give the Lord a mighty hand. And now let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, for those people that raised their hand today, online, here in this auditorium, Lord, be real in their situation and circumstance. I speak peace, supernatural peace into their life right here, right now. Lord, I speak a new joy into their situation and circumstance. Lord, the situation may not change around them instantly, but there'll be something on the inside that will cause them to rise up and to see with new hope, a new perspective, a new life. Let it be in the name of Jesus. Do what only you can do. Bring a miracle into people's lives and hearts in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.